Welcome back, everyone, to the Hattie Boydell podcast. I think that welcome back is more for me. It's been a long time since I have jumped on to do the Hattie Boydell podcast, and I take full responsibility for that. A lot has happened since the last podcast, and I just have to name this because it makes me feel a little bit more settled. I am so nervous for this podcast. I usually like to speak to other people. I love a good conversation. I feel like good conversations help us to hear more about ourselves and others. But one of the reasons I'm doing this on my own, one, is because I'm petrified and I'm scared. And then two, it is a little practice for my clean health speech, which is happening in less than 2 weeks' time, in about 10 days' time. And it's going to be an amazing event, a three-day event with lots of incredible speakers who I cannot wait to learn from myself. A lot of them are friends. But in that scenario, when we get to hear them speak about their experience or what they learned or the things that they have overcome through their success, we just learn a little bit more about them. So I'm super excited for that weekend, but I'm also petrified for my speech. I have a fear of public speaking, but my ultimate goal is to be, you know, a motivational speaker, which means that I have to go and do the hard things. The only way we can practice is by doing. So I thought I'd use this as an opportunity to practice some of the things that I want to speak about, which I, funny enough, speak to so many people about anyway on podcasts. It's just it's a conversation with someone else. But also, you know, I just have to thank all the girls who have reached out to me and who I saw last weekend at the Melbourne Fitness Expo for encouraging me to jump on and do a podcast. Because at the end of the day, these podcasts are more for you than they are for me. I mean, in a way, they are for both of us. I get to practice speaking. I get to speak to amazing people. I get to have an amazing conversation. And you get to listen to it too. And we learn so much more about ourselves when we listen to others. So I do hope, and I guess the voice in my head is, I hope this is good enough. You know, I want it to be good enough for you. Hope you learn something. But I've just got to give it a crack. So jumping into this podcast, I'm going to just give you a little bit of an update with what's been happening in my life a lot. Coben and I have started Flex Method, which is our amazing new business together. We get to help so many amazing men and women. This is the first time in 12 years that I have worked with men again. I used to PT, obviously, men and women back when I was a personal trainer 18 years ago. A little bit of information you probably didn't know about me. I've actually been in the industry for 18 years. I like to call myself the grandma. And I'm still here, and I actually couldn't imagine doing anything else but this job. The more you learn, the better it gets. And, you know, as I often reflect back on the, you know, the Clean Health Live that's happening or the Clean Health event or even just the amazing amount of fantastic educators that we now have access to, let me tell you, we would have killed for that back then. A lot of us had to learn a lot of things the hard way. I can certainly say that was me. But at least we learn. And the more you learn, the more people you get to work with, the more experiences you have, the more transformations you have and you get to be a part of, the better this gets. So Coben and I have got the Flex Method, and we have an amazing team of incredible coaches. So if you are someone who has been circling around me for a while, Flex Method is not only affordable, but it opens you up to a really great community of so many like-minded people. And I share a lot of mindset work, plus we have incredible nutritionists and dietitians and exercise scientists that also help with our education. So that has been a wonderful new journey and challenge to be a part of, starting from the ground up, which, you know, I love that saying. That's a part of Get Raw, which is an amazing company I'm a part of, from the ground up. And that means like we are building everything from scratch and we get to navigate with each other, building the business or building the company, building the culture, building the community that we both love and are a part of. And, you know, working with Coben, it's been a really beautiful thing because, you know, he has a brilliant mind and I wish I wish he spoke more on social media because he is so intelligent, and I get to, you know, work with him, work alongside him, get to do our group coaching calls now every Monday and every Friday for our community. And it's a beautiful thing watching someone be so passionate but also speak with so much integrity about a topic that he knows so much about, and I get to, you know, ping pong with that. So that has been really awesome. I've had a pretty challenging start to the year with some personal things, but navigating that. And I guess one of the reasons that I want to speak so highly or so much about self-leadership, especially next weekend at the Clean Health event, is because I've really had to honor self-leadership in a really different way, in a different experience this year. And what's been really interesting as I reflect on how I've navigated a very challenging experience, I think that's the best way to put it, is that from this really hard place, I've never known who I am so deeply like I do now. And it's interesting that it took something so intense and so really awful to really go, wow, I know who I am, and I'm not who other people think I am, which is a really, again, interesting experience to go through. I'm also on my first mini cut. So interesting enough, outside of being sick with anorexia 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, no, not even, no, how long ago? 19 years ago. this is the and then with competing, this is the first time I have ever done just a normal diet outside of comp prep, outside of being sick. And the reason I chose to do a mini cut was because I have one of my best friend's weddings in 10 days' time. I literally do the Clean Health Live on the Friday, and then I'll be there half day Saturday, and then I fly to Italy that night to be a part of the wedding for that week. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't fit into my dresses right now. I can't fit into much of my clothes right now. So I'm going to clean this up a little bit. I'm going to do a mini cut. And it was really interesting to notice that I noticed I was like super hungry, as we all do when we go into a diet. And this is the part of, this is the piece that a lot of people find really difficult, being hungry and the discomfort that comes along with being hungry. Hunger just creates a little bit of tension in the system. And so what do we use food for in many different ways to relieve tension? Whether it's hunger, whether it's anxiety, sadness, overwhelm, celebration, like food has so many different layers and so many different roles in our life. And it can be really confusing for us because whoever says they don't like eating, they're lying. Everybody likes eating. But the thing is, we have food that we enjoy eating, but food that we feel guilty about eating. And a lot of this stems to obviously previous or past behaviors, belief systems, and use of language, which I'm going to go into. And I noticed that I was like, oh, I'm really hungry. And a little voice came over me and said, you really don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to do a mini cut. It's not that bad. You don't look that bad. You can fit into another dress. Don't worry about it. And then another voice came to myself and said, but you said you would do it. And I thought, self-leadership. Commitment to myself. Doing the thing I said I would do. Radical responsibility. And because I didn't have to share with anyone that I'm doing this mini cut. I just shared it with myself. And the reason I want to pinpoint this is because in any moment, you decide whether you build trust or you break it. And this is any commitment that you make with yourself. And this is where a lot of people suffer in. We say we want to do one thing and we don't go do it. And so something I talk about often to my clients and on podcasts, and I'll be speaking to in greater detail in the Clean Health Live, is how important self-leadership is. It is to do the things we said we would do privately and publicly when we feel like it and when we don't. That is self-leadership. It is to lead ourselves to the goal that we said we wanted, down the path always. And, you know, I noticed myself walking to the cupboard, opening it up, and then closing it because I'm like, what am I going to do here? Am I going to go and relieve a little bit of the hunger and the tension and take the path of least resistance and then have a small relief or validation to validate the parts of me that feel uncomfortable? Or am I going to sit in the discomfort and say, no, you said you're doing this thing? And if you take the path of least resistance, where does that land you? Well, you're lying. You're not acting on self-leadership, which is something that you openly talk about and teach your clients. And the other path is that you sit in discomfort and you understand that you're uncomfortable and you don't do anything with it. You're just like, cool, I'm hungry. Yeah, sure, I'd love to eat. But I'm going to go back to the couch and I'm going to sit with the dog and I'm going to get my work done. And the reason I want to share this is because there's so many women out there and men that only know how to diet under extreme pressure. Like, I've only ever dieted under extreme pressure. And it's been a beautiful journey, a little side project for me to do this mini cut, because it was a really lovely reflection on, I am who I say I am. I do what I say I do. And I don't need this external pressure on the other side to show up for myself, which is what a lot of people do. Now, goals are great, but they're not always enough. Goals set a direction, but without the plan of how we're going to do it and without the intention, then we never really achieve or get the outcome that we want. And intention is everything. And I'm going to jump into this a little bit. If your intention to lose weight comes from a really negative place, now we know that pain is one of the greatest motivators, but what I say is that it can't be the motivator forever. We can recognize that we feel unhealthy. We feel a sense of we haven't looked after ourselves. We can name all these things for ourselves, and I think it's actually important. Name how you feel in this moment, what you've been doing to yourself to feel this way, but we can't use it to punish ourselves to the next step. We can't use it to punish ourselves for the reason for making change. We need to look at framing our intention so that the goal is positive. It is to be better, look after ourselves, be there for our kids, but most importantly, be there for ourselves, because we can't fully help others when we're not even fully helping ourselves. In the same way that I talk about leadership with coaches, you can't lead someone down the path you're not willing to do or you haven't been before, which is why self-leadership is so important, right? And self-leadership is doing things in private when no one's watching without telling the world what you're doing, okay? It is something that you need to validate yourself by your own actions. We often seek validation from others. We seek it from social media. That's all social media is, right? We curate something. We put it out there. We hope someone likes it. We get a comment. We get interaction. We are validated by that thing that we did. But what if, or how can you use your own actions to be the only validation that you need? Because at the end of the day, that is the most important. If we're doing everything for others for everyone else's validation, we are now fall to grace of other people versus creating our own validation on ourselves. And there's a really big piece to our habits and how we identify our habits with what, you know, ourselves. Think about it like this. And I'm going to go into language. If you eat something that you consider unhealthy, or you eat something that you consider as bad, how do you feel when you eat it? It's not neutral to you. It comes with a label and a tag, and that when you eat that thing, you now label yourself that. Okay. In the same way, on the flip side, when we eat something healthy, we automatically say, yeah, I'm really healthy right now, or I'm being healthy, or I eat healthy. We see, hear this all the time. I eat really healthy, but I eat really healthy, but I am disciplined now, or I'm, what's another one? It's like, I used to be healthy. I used to be disciplined. And so these words that we use are really important because they ultimately shape our experience, which is why intention is really important. So yes, you can evolve from pain, but the evolution has to be to move towards love and to look after yourself. How can I look after myself? What would that look like in your habits, in your steps, in your process? So in the same way that to lose weight, you need to, you know, eat in a calorie deficit, go to the gym, be organized, prepare yourself, all these things. The intention behind why we do what we are going to do ultimately will drive your experience. So two people both want to lose weight. Person A, their intention is because they're going to punish themselves. They feel unworthy. They can't believe they've got themselves here. They feel unattractive. They're fat, and they start name shaming and name calling themselves. And that's the thing that gets them up to the gym. Then they start restricting their food. They're on a diet, and what do? Lowest calories. How low can you go? Restrict all your food groups. Don't eat anything bad. When they go to the gym, it's intensity. It's sweating. It's burning calories. It's not for performance, for progression. Right? So these things that we're doing, these tools that we use, ultimately the intention will shape the experience. Because if you're going from not good enough, I promise you, all you're going to see is not good enough. No matter what happens with your results, whether you lose the weight, whatever it is, whether you're healthy, eating healthy, it will not be good enough, because not good enough set the tone, the intent behind you taking action. Now, like I said, pain is probably the biggest motivator, but it cannot be the motivator forever. You can name that you feel X, Y, and Z, but hey, at the end of the day, all these things that you feel can evolve into something else. And we now want to shift the language that we're using here, which is not going to serve you to becoming the person that you say you want to be. So we have to reset the intention. And something I like to use in journaling is I rename it to reframe it. And ultimately, that changes not only the trajectory, not only the perspective, but most importantly, the experience of what I'm doing. So person B also wants to lose weight. Yes, they're upset that they haven't looked after themselves. Yes, they don't feel that comfortable in their body. Yes, they want to make a change, but their intention for change is to be the greatest version of themselves. And they write a list of what the greatest version of them is. They are disciplined, or I like to use the word devotion, devoted. They say, I'm going to be devoted to my ongoing growth, to the evolution of who I am, because I love myself, because I want to love myself. I want to love myself in the way I love my child, my sister, my best friend, my partner, my mom, my dad. I want to love myself the same way I love them. And so what does that look like? Well, I bet there's going to be a little bit of compassion in there. Maybe even a little bit of empathy to the parts of you that you haven't been looking after so much. And at the end of the day, we're all doing the best that we can, and sometimes we're doing the best that we can with the tools that we have available to us, right? And then as we go on this journey of self-discovery, of being the greatest version of ourselves, which you must get clear on so that you know who she is or who he is, and you can start to embody that through your actions, through your words, through your habits, through your behaviors, creating an environment, living the life that you want to live, which is all things that we can start to curate once we actually have a clear understanding of who and what that is. So the intention is really important, because both people are going to go to the gym. But one person's intention is to punish. The second person's intention is to start with progression. Is actually most likely going to do the minimum effective dose, right? Person A is probably going to try and go to the gym 7 days a week because they have to earn their food or earn their worth through exercise. Like, I've done that. I definitely have been down this path. And then the second is to go, hold on, I haven't been to the gym in a while. What can I start with? And the reason I want to share this little piece is because a big mistake a lot of people make is when they suddenly get this motivation, this wonderful feeling of motivation, which we know is fleeting, but almost feels euphoric. And I can say it feels empowering when we're motivated, but it's never there forever. But we use this motivation to start to take action on the things that we say we want to achieve. And we want to do the minimum effective dose, right? Because the minimum effective dose leaves room for progress. And something that I often talk about in my Train the Female Athlete course and to all my clients is there's three really important ingredients when it comes to doing this in the long term. And a frequently asked question I get is, how do you keep going? How do you keep doing this? Longevity, sustainability, and enjoyment. So if you are someone listening and you've maybe been a little bit inconsistent, you haven't been to the gym in a while, or you might even be person A that I've been speaking about and you're going, oh my God, she is talking about me, that is me, then I want to assure you, you can change things. And it's going to start with self-awareness of knowing where your intention is coming from. Reset your intention. Create more of a balanced approach to your plan. One of the biggest mistakes I made when I first started training was, one, my intention was not healthy. I still had to earn things. And I trained way too much, way too often with not enough food, and I restricted a lot of the foods that I enjoyed eating. And that was my mistake and that was my lesson and I learned from it. And the reason I like to share this now is because it's never too late to change. It's never too late to start to look into your own habits and say, how can I be better? You know, a question I often ask people is, why do you want to do what you do? And they say, I just want to be the better version of myself. And I say, okay, who is that? Who is she? Who is he? And they can never really give me an answer. So if you're listening and you have some time to reflect, I think a really great tool is to ask yourself, like, who is the greatest version of you? Like, how do you want her to be or he to be? What's the language that you feel is empowering to you? One of my favorite words in this entire world is devotion. And an old client of mine, big shout out to Lisa if you ever listen to this, my conversation with you literally changed so much for me. And I so appreciate you. Because we were doing a call one day and she said, honey, I really don't like the word discipline. She said, it feels like it's choking me. Feels like it's rigid and restricted. And when I say I'm disciplined, I cut all these things out and I don't feel like me anymore. And I can't do it forever. You know, as soon as motivation goes, I'm not disciplined. And I said, well, what word works better for you? And she said, I really like the word devotion. And I thought, oh, devotion. What a lovely word. And when this is my perspective, when I think about the word devotion, I think such an empowering word, because to me devotion is like, I mean, my visualization of it, because I'm a very visual person, is like looking at myself from an outer body experience saying, how do I be devoted to you for the rest of my life? In the same way that I look at my partner and I say, I'm going to be devoted to you. I have ongoing commitment to navigating our relationship through all the different challenges that we are going to be presented with. And that means I must communicate, I must listen, I must learn, I must know what is mine, I must challenge, I must support, and I must do that for myself so that I can do that for us. And so the word devotion for me is one of the most powerful words I could ever say to myself. And I literally say, how do I be devoted to you for the rest of my life? And in challenging moments, I have to say that to myself, because if I'm not devoted to me, no one else is going to be devoted to me the way I can be devoted to me. And I must, you know, continue to show up when things are hard. And so devotion is almost like love. I think love gets a very different, you know, everyone thinks love, it's like fluffy and light. It's like, sure, that is maybe an element to love. But if you really love someone, you hold them to the standard that they have set for themselves. And that means you hold them accountable to things they said they would do or want to do, and you watch their actions and you listen to them and you say, hey, you name this to me, so I'm going to challenge you on what you're currently doing right now. And that can feel really challenging for the person that you are holding accountable, because you love them so much. And we have to do that to ourselves. And if you're someone listening and you find it hard to speak to yourself the way I speak to myself, because I often say we have to learn to have conversations with ourselves, then there are two things that you could possibly, that might help you with your perspective. If you had a twin that was literally identical to you, with all of your strengths and all of your things that you want to work on, and they named everything to you, and you knew all their secrets, but you also knew all of their goals and their dreams, and you watched them, and they started to get a little bit distracted, and you say, hey, I thought you said, you shared something with me. You said this is what you want to achieve. And I just want to remind you of that. And this action that you are doing, this habit that you are creating, this thing that you are breaking, which is ultimately trust with ourselves, is not serving the person that you said you want to be. And I'm going to name all the amazing things to you, because you've named all the things that you don't like about yourself. Well, I'm just going to be here to remind you of all the things that you've actually accomplished in life. I want to remind you of all the amazing strengths that you have, because we want to train our strengths, but we still want to work on the things that are weaker, you know, they're letting us down. And for most of us, it's just commitment to ourselves. It is repairing trust with ourselves, because we're taking the path of least resistance too often, too many times, because we think that no one's listening. No one external to you is listening, but you're listening. And that is the most important part here. You can lie to everyone else, but you can't lie to yourself. Right? And we can't expect others to trust us if we can't trust ourselves. The trust must come with ourselves, with us first. Because if we're going to teach our daughters, our partners, our clients, people that we work with, that you are trustworthy, then it must start with yourself. Because you can lie to everyone else, but you can't lie to you. And this is where radical responsibility and radical self-leadership are going to be two of the greatest tools of commitment that you can ever make to yourself, because they will change the way you show up for yourself. They will evolve the way you show up for yourself. And I love the word evolve or evolution, because most people, when we want to move away from something, we say change. Like if I'm changing something, I'm changing an apple to an orange. But that's not really what we are. We don't change from an apple to an orange. We just flourish, right? We become the most beautiful big apple we could possibly be. We're delicious and ripe. We taste amazing. And we do that, right, by evolving who we are as a human being. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a perfect person. I'm so far from that. But I can, hand on my heart, say I'm someone who is practicing every day to learn about myself, to make better choices, to show up for myself, and to lead myself by example, because ultimately that is my experience of myself. And my biggest goal is to improve my experience of myself so I can improve my experience of the world. And this is why I'm so passionate about self-leadership and radical responsibility. It will be the best tools for your ongoing self-development, right? And a part of this, or a part of these two tools, or almost the umbrella to these two tools, is self-awareness. You can shout affirmations all day long. You can screenshot memes or screenshot meanings and words and phrases, and they can make you feel good in that moment. But what are you going to do with it is the important piece. What are you going to do with that fleeting feeling? And I said fleeting because it's going to go away. And you're going to return back to the same person you were if you didn't take action on that thing. If you didn't take action on that little glimpse or glimmer of inspiration. Because inspiration without action is just entertainment. So what are you entertaining? Right? Are we entertainers? Or are we going to be the person that we say we are? Are we going to lead ourselves so that we can fully lead others? You know, we can take them down the path that we have been, and we can have compassion and empathy for others navigating the same challenge that we went through, but we know how to overcome it because we did the thing. We did the hard thing. And honestly, when I first started out in the industry 18 years ago, like I said, I was that person who punished myself. I was not leading by example, and I felt like a fraud. And I remember having this conversation with myself, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I cannot lie to myself, and I cannot lie to others. And it was in that moment I literally said, all right, what is leadership to me? And I was literally 20 years old. And you know, I'm like so grateful for the challenges that I was presented with as a teenager. I don't think I would have really understood the power of mindset without really becoming aware of how powerful my mindset was. For some of you who don't know my story, for some of you who are listening to me for the first time, you know, essentially when I was in my teenage years, I suffered from very bad anorexia and I was hospitalized. And I don't often talk too much about this story, mostly because there are other things to talk about. But as I reflect on my life and some of the pivotal moments of my life, or even as who I am as a person right now and why I do what I do and why I'm passionate about what I do and who I am to this day, which is not a perfect person, but I'd like to think I'm a good person, it stems from being so sick and ending up in hospital and having a look around and going, what the fuck have I done? What the fuck has happened here? And it wasn't by chance, it was by choice. And it really made me understand how powerful my choices were, particularly the ones that I was choosing to do over and over and over again. And it led me to a place where I no longer had my independence. I was told what to do every day. And for those of you who know me, you know I do not like to be told what to do unless I've asked for help. And I was there surrounded by other women. And I thought, I'm strong enough to suffer, but you're not. And when I got to know some of the other women, they had been in and out of that place for 7 years or more. And I thought, fuck this. I cannot live here. I cannot do this anymore. I have certain sayings in my mind that are like the catalyst for change. It's like, I cannot do this anymore. I can't live like this. This is not the way. And so again, I had an internal conversation with myself and I was like, okay, I got myself here, so I've got to get myself out. Yes, I had resources. I had the psychologists around me. I had my amazing family. But ultimately, it was my responsibility. And I didn't know what radical responsibility was at that time in my life, but I still executed it. And I still had things that I had to navigate. I was kind of in and out. I was, you know, the road of recovery was very tough. But ultimately, I saw a future of how I wanted to be. And then I had to work out how the hell I was going to get there. So I recognized how powerful my mindset was because, goddamn, it nearly killed me. And I thought, if I can shift that to something powerful, I could probably create something pretty amazing. And so I looked to my eating disorder, and I looked to the qualities that I essentially wanted to keep. There was discipline, and there was drive, there was resilience, and there was grit. Pretty intense emotions that we can, kind of feels like hard emotions. But I knew I would need them for the next path. I also looked to my background in gymnastics, and I was like, what are the things that I loved about that time in my life? And there was community, there was friendship, and there was being part of a team. And there was support, and there was cheerleading, and there was inspiration. I looked to the others to be inspired by. And I still do to this day, I look to others to be inspired by, because I like to be pulled forward like we all should. And it's one of the reasons we should have purpose and meaning, find something that we're passionate about, is because when we have meaning to something, when we have purpose, it helps us show up in hard times. It helps pull us forward through dark moments. And one of my biggest purposes in my life, and I really got this after training with Sebastian Oreb, was I wanted to show people what was humanly possible, what you could actually achieve doing things naturally, with hard work, with a shit ton of time, with focus, with amazing mentors, with support, with a community, with cheerleaders, but most importantly, self-leadership and radical responsibility. How do you keep doing what you do for so long? You become radically responsible for yourself. You know what the purpose of what you want to do and achieve is. You know it so well that no matter what, you find ways to overcome. You know, and a part of radical self-leadership is actually really owning what your belief system is, being wholly responsible for what your excuses are. I have a saying, it is, we're not limited by our resources. We are limited by the ceiling of our self-belief. And sure, there might be times where your resource is low, but you have so many free resources available to you, like this podcast, like the internet. The internet is a wild, wild place with so much beauty and so much darkness. You get to choose where you want to go and what you want to use it for. You get to cultivate and curate who you want to be exposed to and what you want to be exposed to. Your environment is not just what's around you, but who you digest. And this all contributes to the limitations that we place on ourselves. And so if you can start to come aware, self-awareness, the umbrella, of what these limitations are, of what your excuses are, of what you use as a scapegoat to not do the thing that you said you were going to do. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you have to become aware of what your habits and behaviors and language and excuses are. Are you actually taking time to set yourself up for success? Are you using organization and preparation, which comes for free in terms of cost, but the cost is always effort? Everyone has access to the tool of organization. Everyone has access to a diary. So you got a phone, you got a diary. You got a phone, you got a notebook. You got a phone, you got a prompter. You got a phone, you got the internet. You have so many resources, you just have a lot more excuses. And so, part of self-leadership and radical responsibility is to start to become aware of what you're actually saying to yourself. Because it's not just what you're saying to yourself, it's what you're limiting yourself by. And something a lot of people share is that they don't have people around them who understand them or on the same mission. And I would say that's pretty lonely. I actually really understand loneliness. It is something that I'm experiencing right now. And the thing that I remind myself of is, as long as I have myself, I have 90% of the things that I need. Because my vision of myself or my goals for myself, my best version of me, is my responsibility. And if I can fall back on myself, if I can trust myself, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important that you start to rebuild trust with yourself, is that if you don't have someone else, you have to know that you have you. And if you have you and you can say, I trust myself to do the things that I said I would do, everyone else is a compliment to you. And now another piece to this is, as we start to evolve, maybe our partners or our friends, they don't understand. And all we ever want to do is be understood. We want to be understood. We want to be heard. We want to be seen. We want to, most importantly, be part of a tribe. It's a part of our evolution to be a part of a tribe, which is why we can feel lonely when people don't understand us, because we're not connecting, right? There's a disconnect, maybe for that space. And people say, oh, you've changed. It's like, no, I'm evolving. I'd like to be the greatest version of me, and it's not who I am right now. And I'd like to look after myself. I'd like to set a goal of a marathon or being stronger or feeding myself better nutrition, looking after myself. I want to feel better. And the only way we feel better is by us doing what we said we wanted to do. We don't see ourselves as we are. We see ourselves as we feel, and how we feel is ultimately a connection to the habits and the actions that we are taking, the language that we use, the stories that we create for ourselves. And so when people don't understand, we can say, I get that you don't understand, because this is my goal, but I at least love your support. And this is what support for me looks like right now. And so you're creating more of a neutral ground for that person who you love and who loves you and maybe is feeling a little bit challenged by the new habits that you're doing or the new way of being, which can be normal, because maybe the way in which you guys related to each other or connected to each other was via food or maybe unhealthy habits, right, or unhealthy language. And so now what you guys used to bond over isn't quite the connection anymore. And people can either grow with you and you can encourage them to, but we can't make anyone do anything without them self-leading. Otherwise, you say, this is the path that I'd like to go down because I have one life and I want to have the opportunity to make the most out of it. I'm sick of seeing what other people are doing. I'd like to start to do a version of me, of what others are doing. I'd like to create my own success by my own habits, and I'd like to become responsible for myself. I'd like to have self-leadership. I'd like to be a good role model for my kids that are growing up, because they watch everything and they hear everything, which is really important. And so creating that middle ground, I understand you don't understand what I'm doing, but this is my goal. This is why I want to do it. This is my intention. These are the habits that I look to support the person I say I want to be. And I'd love for you to support me on this journey in the way I would support you on your goals and the journey of you being the best version of you. And I'd love if you came with me. Otherwise, I'd love you to do this by my side. And so you can create more of a neutral ground, and you've asked for support and you've let them know what that looks like. Okay, that's important. And I'm going to circle it back to why it's important that you know who the best version of you is. And that's because we don't just become this person magically after X amount of years. We be this person every day. So you can, once you know exactly what the habits are, how they want to wake up, what time they want to wake up, how they want to speak to themselves first thing in the morning, do they put some nice music on, do they get sun on their skin, do they do some breath work, do they journal, do they just get up straight away and get out to the dog, or do they go straight to work, or do they go straight to the gym? Like, the best version of you, their routine is probably not the same as mine because we're different. But set your best version of you up the way it's going to work with your lifestyle, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just got to be something that you can build upon or deconstruct or navigate or work with. But if you don't know what it is, you can't manage it. What you can't manage, you can't measure. What you can't measure, you can't manage, right? There's a process for everything. There's a process for happiness. Happiness is something we want to create, and we create it through doing the things that bring us happiness and joy. I'm going to share with you three things. I heard this from a neuropsychology podcast. There are three things that make us feel like we are ourselves, that we feel the most joy and happiness. And it is when we are learning something, we feel immense joy and happiness, even when we're making mistakes, because we are trying, we're practicing, we are learning something, we are evolving. The second is when we measure our progress. And I'm not just talking that you hold it in your mind of, I think it's getting better. It's, no, you see it on paper. This is why training plans are so important. This is why creating to-do lists are so important. This is why marking things off your calendar every day, you nailed your water or your 10K steps or your journaling or your tracking your macros. And you see over the month how consistent you were, right? And consistency isn't just 100%. It is getting it done, right, as best as you can. If we mess up one day, fine, get back on the horse the other day. You know what? That's still consistency. And the third one is being a part of a tribe, being a part of community. And we are so lucky in the way that we have this amazing technology where we can be a part of forums, we can be a part of coaching programs, we can be a part of, people have cults on social media. If you really love someone, I've got to say I've got an amazing community on social media, and I'm so thankful for you. You know, I appreciate every single message, every question, every comment, every share, every like. Like, I really do appreciate you. I think thank you for taking your time out for me when you didn't have to listen to what I have to say, even in this moment. Thank you for listening to this. And I am so grateful that what I've put out over the last 10 years has been helpful to you in some way. And I've built a community that way. You know, you are my community as I am yours. And so to be a part of that is really important. And this is why, as we navigate through different changes in our life, it is important to find people that we can connect with, because we're going to be faced with challenges and we're going to feel like we're not doing a good enough job. One of my greatest fears in life is that I haven't done a good enough job, which is why I get so nervous behind speaking events or this podcast. It's like, was it good enough? Did I give you enough value? Did I help you? Was it worth listening to? Did I say everything I needed to say? And I'll never know because I'm never going to listen to this back. But the practice is to do the thing and to ask for help when we need it and to not be afraid to ask for help, especially when we're not doing what we said we would do. But to have the level of self-awareness that says, hold on, I'm doing that thing again. I'm falling back on my old habit. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to be curious about what's happening for me. And rather than let myself keep rolling down that hill, I'm going to just let one day pass, and rather it turn into a week, I'm going to intercept myself. And I'm going to ask myself, what do I need from me right now? What are the tools that I have available to me? Okay. What can I do? What can I do is such a great question to ask yourself in moments of hard times, whether you get injured, whether you're sick, when the path isn't perfect, when the environment's not perfect, right? The practice is to not let the environment control you, but you do your best to stay in control of the environment. And we ask ourselves, what can I do? What am I willing to do? I can, and you write it down, get clear. I can go to the shops and get the food I need for my meal plan. I can sit down, write out my meals, and that's what I'm going to stick to. I can get to bed on time. I can make my little to-do list. And don't start with a grand 50 fucking things that you need to do. Start with the 3 minimum effective doses or 2 minimum effective doses, because all you need to do is build momentum again in the right direction. Okay. We don't need to do 1,000 things at once for us to feel better about ourselves, but we need to just take action on one thing. Okay. Make one commitment to yourself that you are going to do. Once you mark that one commitment off, notice how you feel. Maybe a little sense of confidence. I did the thing. What's the next thing that you're going to do? Mark that off. Notice how you feel. What is that feeling? A little bit of confidence. What are we doing every time we build a little bit of confidence? We're repairing the system that we broke before. We're repairing the little micro tears from the times that we said, don't worry, it doesn't matter right now. We're repairing the times that we gave ourselves an excuse to fall back on the habits that we've been saying we've been trying to break. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but I'm asking you to practice in the same way you should ask yourself, what is the best thing I can do right now? Because it doesn't have to be perfect. Sometimes close enough is good enough. But when we can exercise being perfect, we do that. And we see and we know what we are actually capable of achieving. We reach for perfection knowing we may never even make it, but even if you fall just under perfection, you're pretty damn close. And we know that close enough is good enough. And if we can practice that mindset of how do I show up the best way I can? Did I do my best today? And if the answer is yes, you've done the best that you can. That's it. And the best that we can, or 100% of what we give each day, feels different because not every day is the same. But if you can give 100%, then you're giving 100%. And you learn and you keep checking in, and we use wonderful tools like asking ourselves questions so that we can learn to create our own answers. And if we can't find the answers ourselves, we look to friends and family or coaches or resources. We listen to a podcast and we try and create ourselves, or we ask for help. And that's how we learn and continue to self-lead. Right? Learning to be resourceful and then learning to ask for help is still self-leadership. It is still taking responsibility, going, I can't do this on my own and I need a little bit of help. The last thing I want to touch on is I want to go a little bit deeper into language. And I heard this on a podcast. It's not mine, but it landed so well for me. And it was, the greatest story that we will ever tell ourselves is the one that we create about ourselves. And I think this is a really important piece for all of us, myself included. As I share all these things, as I write more for myself than I do for others, and I write because it keeps me honest, in hope that it keeps you honest as well. And I hope this podcast has been helpful to you listening. But I wanted to share that little piece. The greatest story we'll ever create about ourselves is for ourselves. And that is because we're going to believe it. And the story we create about ourselves is the one that we experience, the one that we live. And so to wrap this conversation up is, the language that we use is so important, because language is a weapon of love or destruction. And how do you want to use it? Are you going to use it to self-destruct? Or are you going to use it to self-empower? Because the moment you change your language, the moment you rename it to reframe it, the moment you find the words that are meaningful to you, that empower you to take action, your life will change, period. You then start to recreate the stories, because we all have stories about ourselves. I have stories about myself, right? But as soon as you can start to become aware and notice what that story is, and then go, hold on, is this the story I want to tell? Is this the story I want to tell about myself, to myself or to others? Or do I start to radically lead myself by creating the story that who I am, and I be that person, so I am who I say I am? And that is the story I live by, because that is me. Because I could tell you a story of who I was 18 years ago, And I believed that, and I lived that, and I lived that out in my actions. And I ended up in a very dark place. And then I decided one moment when I essentially had to decide how I wanted to live my life. Was it in hospital or was it with freedom and independence? And I had to earn the right to be independent. I had to earn the right to get out of there. And the only way to stay out of there was to continue to learn being independent, was that I had to change the story I had of myself. I had to shift it. And I had to do that. And the only way I could believe it was by being it, by actioning it. Right. And there were times that were challenging. There was times where I've made some awful mistakes in my life, and you can always go back and go, I wish I didn't do that. Who was I? Where was I in that moment? And you can start to explore and try and make sense of, because we're always trying to make sense of things, always. But the biggest thing is, can you not be like that again? Can you learn from your mistakes and go, I don't want to do that again. I cannot be like that again. And then you use that as some information to start to become better. Right? As we collect information about ourselves, the language that we use, the way we react to things, okay, are we reacting or are we responding? If we look at the internet these days, it is just people reacting all the time. Why? We have so much information coming, so many opinions, so many things, so many, we think the grass is greener on the other side. That person lives a better life. I can assure you, absolutely everything that you see on social media is curated, handpicked for your value. The algorithm likes negativity. Why do you see so much negativity? And at the end of the day, you can curate what you want to have access to. So get rid of people that are not beneficial to you, right? Learn to understand what is yours. That is a part of radical responsibility. And start to make the changes, because let's be honest, most people live their life in their phone than they do in their reality. Most people would have a happier life living in reality than they're living in their phone, because they would be more conscious of how they are and who they are and what they're doing, and that time that they're not wasting on someone else they don't know, living a life that they think is they would like to live. And if you would, you can create it for yourself. You just got to get off that phone and start doing it. You would live a happier life. So the story we create about ourselves is so important. The language that we use is going to destruct or it's going to empower. And the habits that we create must align with the person that we want to be. The greatest version of ourselves, which we can create ourselves, which we must get clarity on, is the one that we can start to curate. I'm going to love you and leave you all. I hope you found today helpful. I must say I'm really proud of myself for doing this. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let me know. Please share it if you enjoyed it. Please give me feedback. Feedback is always welcome. And most importantly, everyone, remember we have two hands, one for helping ourselves and one for helping others.
The Hattie Boydell podcast is powered by Gut Performance, my daily non-negotiable for a happy and healthy gut. Head to gutperformance.com.au and use the word Hattie for a discount.